Welcome to Health Freedom Radio, live and local. From the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN, 830 AM. Now, here are your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
Good morning. I'm Julie Boris, and I'm here with Lisa Mayer.
Hello.
And this is Health Freedom Radio. Health Freedom Radio is a new show airing weekly on Tuesdays from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. on WCRN Radio Central, and we'll be talking about all things health freedom uncensored. And I want to start by today thanking today's show sponsors, Health Rights MA, My Salon Suites in Westboro in Leominster, and a new sponsor, Time Herbal Apothecary in Worcester. And just like our friends at Health Rights MA and My Salon Suites and Time Herbal Apothecary, we believe all people have the fundamental inalienable right to make their own health decisions for themselves and their families, free from coercive tactics and bribery and mandates, and that no one should ever be forced into any medical procedure against their will before they can live, work, or go to school.
Amen.
Before we get underway, quick disclaimer, we are not representing any organization. The views expressed on the show today are our own, and the views of our guests are their own. And also, we are not medical doctors or attorneys and are not giving any medical or legal advice. So the topic of our show today will be the weaponization, hard to say, of language and how and why that is being used against us, it seems, and how to recognize when it's happening. And coming up, we'll be hearing from a guest today, Dan Seitz from Health Rights MA. We'll be talking about why words matter so much.
So excited to hear from Dan.
But first, on Health Freedom Radio, we want to connect business owners who love freedom with patrons who also love freedom. I know when I'm deciding where to spend my money, especially since the lockdowns of 2020, I think about how that business owner or company behaved during that time. And from your realtor to your accountant to your plumber or electrician, your doctor, your dentist, restaurants, who supports health freedom? Who is not going to mask up again when someone says, oh, it's time to mask up?
Or force you to.
Right. It's about choice. So not only are you voting with your dollar, but you're helping to build a strong health freedom community and economy in Massachusetts. So I think we have a caller coming up. Today's health freedom loving business owner is Lola Boyers, and she is from Purely Lola, Truly Non-Toxic. And one of the things that started to open my eyes to the fact that our government agencies weren't really being honest and they weren't really protecting us was personal care and cleaning products. So I remember going to one of those, it was like a home party event in a friend of mine's store, and I was invited by a friend, and I was tired, but I really wanted to go and support her. She's calling in again, I think, Ted. And it was incredibly eye-opening. I thought I was using clean products, Method and Mrs. Myers, and they had really nice packaging, but, it's greenwashing, it's called, right? Where they call it natural, but then you look at the ingredients and you see fragrance in there or chemicals, a long, long list of chemicals that you cannot name, and you don't really know what they are.
Right. And you absorb all of that right through your skin into your body.
Right.
Yep. And I'm sure Lola will talk a lot about that.
Yep. So right now we have calling in is Lola. I met Lola through a lot of different ways, but through products that were actually clean and non-toxic that we were both using. And Lola, are you there, my friend?
Yes.
Hello. Good morning, Lola. Excellent.
Pure Haven, and they told us she's going against community standards. So they have been attacking me. I cannot post any link on Facebook. Now, even my emails are being sabotaged in some way. I don't know if there's a connection. But these products that are conventional products that are on the market today with all these toxic ingredients, I feel is by design. So not only are they putting chemtrails up there and trying to kill us that way, they're actually trying to kill us through our personal care products. I'm serious. There's been no regulation since 1938 on the safety of our products.
Yep.
Come on.
You got to wonder if it's on purpose at this point.
Well, I no longer wonder. Now I am almost sure that that is the case.
And Lola, isn't there like in other countries, there are like thousands of products, chemicals that are banned, but here, nope, not at all.
Yes. So in America, we out of 85,000 toxic ingredients in use today, America bans 11. So why even bother with the 11?
Now, and those are the ones that'll just kill you immediately. So it's obvious.
They
so they have to ban those.
It really is. In Europe, they ban 1,300, which is nothing either, out of 85,000 with that 0.0%. Mm-hmm. But the fragrance is not even an ingredient. Fragrance is a term that is used by the industry to hide thousands of toxic chemicals in our products. Mm-hmm. It's not to say it smells nice. It's poisoning us.
Right.
Seriously.
Yeah. For example, vanilla. I mean, that's not like vanilla from the vanilla bean. It is hundreds of chemicals. Many of them are carcinogens and endocrine disruptors. They're totally ruining our health.
I know. And it's a scary thought. So mm-hmm. many people have been, I'm going to use the word heal because this is Freedom Radio. I can say anything I want, correct?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Well, no.
Maybe not swears.
I'm
so paranoid.
As long as the FDA is not, as long as you're not going against the FDA rules about what you can say about something.
Okay. Well,
I was
able to heal myself with from eczema with these products. I did attempt that steroid cream that they promote, but no way. My eczema would go away for like a week, but then it would come back with a vengeance. Mm-hmm. So watch Skin on Fire. That is a documentary that will just blow your mind.
Really?
But it's not just fragrance. There's all kinds, like petroleum. Whose idea was to put gasoline sludge in your skincare?
Rockefeller?
Yes, it was Rockefeller. Thank you very much. They said, what are we going to do with this leftover sludge? We're going to refine it, and we're going to dye it white and make it look nice. And it is nice and smooth on your skin, but it's also causing cancer, asthma, allergies, acne, all kinds of disturbing illnesses and diseases. Oh my gosh. And I could go on and on. Do you have an hour?
Really? So
I wish.
The website the URL people can go to, it's tinyurl.com/purelylola. And there she has links to, I believe, get in touch with you and find out more about the products. Because the one thing I love about these is, because I use them as well.
I do too.
I get them from Lola. But they actually do spoil. Like, you know, you can't buy them on the shelves at a store because you got to get them from someone you know locally, because they will go, you need to use them within like a year, mm-hmm. and then they will spoil. And that actually makes me happy when my product spoils. I know that.
Yeah.
It's just because I know that it's not full of preservatives and gunk and all other stuff. And so I do try to obviously not waste, but that's how you know that they're pure. So Lola, thank you so much for calling in. Again, it's tinyurl.com/purelylola. And Lisa, you wanted to add?
Yeah, I just wanted to add one thing. This whole fragrance thing is something that I'm so happy that I'm saying this on the radio right now, because it is a huge issue. I run down the street and I can smell the dryer sheets and the fabric softener and all of the detergents that they're using full of fragrances. I can smell them. The houses are way back from the street as well. I can smell them spewing out of these houses, and I try to hold my breath and run by a little quicker because it is so toxic. But I feel really bad for those people that are living in that house that have this all over their clothes and their bed sheets and all of that, and they're breathing it in constantly. And they probably have all these health issues and they don't know why.
Yep, absolutely. I find the same thing when I walk my dog. I have to like cover my face and like run through the, you know,
the
cloud of toxin. So again, thank you so much for calling in, Lola. And again, that's tinyurl.com/purelylola. And you can connect with Lola, and she's a wealth of information. We will have to have you on the show sometime.
Yes, I would love that. Thank you so much for listening to me today.
Absolutely.
Thank you for sharing, Lola.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
So our topic today will be the weaponization of language and why words matter. And with us today will be Dan Seitz from Health Rights MA to talk about this topic. It's really something near and dear to his heart. And he said, when you do that topic, I would like to be the guest. So we did invite him on the show today. One of the things that's so interesting is I was reading, there's a new law in France, Lisa, that says advocating any person suffering from a pathology through repeated pressures or manipulation to abandon or refrain from allowing. Basically, there's a law in France that says telling someone they should not take a liability-free pharmaceutical product is against the law, and you could actually go to prison. So thank God we live in the United States of America. And on that note, we're going to play a song from Five Times August, God Help Us All, and we'll be back after the break with Dan Seitz from Health Rights MA.
Lock down all towns, everybody slow down, give them everything you have. Mask up, backs up, get your body trashed up, better do what they ask. It's all right, okay, sorry, but you can't pray, gotta keep the church doors closed. No superstitions, a saint politician will tell you what you need to know. Citizen fools and brand new rules make everyone a hero now. So keep your distance, no resistance, only do what you're allowed. Cash that check, go dance in the wreck, but just don't speak your mind. Get your facts from the paid contracts, cause never will they tell a lie. They don't know me. They don't own me.
Are you a beauty or wellness professional looking to take your career to the next level? Has your career plateaued and you're looking to kickstart your ability to improve your professional and financial situation? Have your skills and clientele grown faster than your earnings? And would you love to work in a drama-free collaborative environment that impresses your clients and is uniquely you? Hi, my name's Ed, and my wife Amy and I own the My Salon Suite locations in Leominster and Westboro. If you're a beauty and wellness professional, or you know someone who is, who has a passion for helping people look and feel their best, and you're looking to level up your career to achieve new heights of professionalism and profitability, we'd love to talk to you. We're building communities of thriving entrepreneurs who know the value of offering clients an amazing experience in an upscale, safe, state-of-the-art environment. Give us a call today at 508-500-9000 or visit mysalonsuite.com/Leominster or /Westboro to set up a confidential tour. Mention Health Freedom Radio and get your first rental week free.
Now, Health Freedom Radio continues, live and local, from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN 830 AM. Once again, here's your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
Good morning. You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central, 830 on the AM dial or at WCRNradio.com. Or you can listen as a podcast. Just go to healthfreedomradio.org. So I want to start today by thanking one of our sponsors who you just heard from, My Salon Suites in Westboro and Leominster. And I went there 2 weeks ago or a few weeks ago for myself. I visited as a patron. And I went to see Alicia, who I met at a MAFA meeting, which we talk about a lot, makeamericansfreeagain.com. And it was very cool. So it's like this space full, it's like a street of salons, and they're all just little onesies, almost like a tiny home for your business. Mm-hmm. So if you're like an independent hair, nails, massage, esthetician, any kind of treatment, really, where you just kind of need your own space. You don't need a lot of overhead. You might need a sink. You might need a podium. You might need chairs. So they design the suites with you, I believe. I hope I'm saying that right. And then you have your own personal little suite. And Amy and Ed Bolt are the owners, health freedom loving friends. They take care of all of that pesky stuff that you don't want to take care of as a business owner. They're kind of the landlords of the whole thing. And they're very cool. I know them. I'm sure they're great people to work with.
Absolutely.
So, and you know, the person that was cutting, I asked her a million questions, you know, how do you like it? Blah, blah, blah. And she's been there for 5 years And she said, I used to have a really toxic work environment and I hated going to work. She's like, I've been here for 5 years. I couldn't be happier. I'm my own boss. Mm-hmm. And so, and there looked like a lot of other really cool, and every space was different. So it was like a little row of salon row.
Yeah. And it's like a community too. And they can refer each other. And yeah.
Yes. And she actually took me around and introduced me to a few other health freedom loving people that she knew that were there, that just happened to be there. And they can really come and go as they please and have their own business and their own clients.
And they're making more money, I think, because they're in business for themselves now.
I would assume so. Yeah. I would hope so. I mean, if she's been doing it for 5 years and she loves it, that's just a very good sign. Mm-hmm. So, okay. So we're going to talk now about the weaponization of language with our friend Dan Seitz. And before the break, I mentioned that in France, there is actually a law. It's really boringly written, but the short of it says, like, if you warn someone not to take a liability-free product, that you could go to jail.
even doctors and experts, right?
Yeah, I mean, I
anybody.
Think, well, so thank God we live in the United States of America, because if we lived in France, this show could quite literally be against the law in France. And this really illustrates the law, because in episode 5, Gone Too Soon, we did just what they said. We used the technique of repeated pressure or manipulation to advocate people abandon or refrain from following a therapeutic a prophylactic medical treatment. And a prophylactic medical treatment would be a vaccine. So we did this by sharing repeatedly stories of young, healthy people that died suddenly within a few weeks of the prophylactic medical treatment, which was in this case a liability-free pharmaceutical gene therapy shot referred to by our public health agencies as safe and effective COVID-19 vaccine. So that was, I just want to repeat their names. Lexi Budson was 24. Elizabeth Dillman was 30. And Trista Allen was just 18. And the saddest part about all of this, there's a lot of sad things, they are still recommending the shot not only to adults, but also to children.
Mm-hmm. So in France, you can't speak the truth.
Pretty much.
Tell true stories about what happened.
And it also basically says that publishing negative opinions about mRNA vaccines, as long as it's done fairly by also informing people about the risks of not getting vaccinated and not undermining their freedom of decision, wouldn't be illegal. So the risks of not getting vaccinated, I would say, are not having Guillain-Barré syndrome. You'll likely not get myocarditis.
Or turbo cancer.
Or die suddenly and unexpectedly with no answer and no autopsy.
And you might also lose your friends and your job if you don't get vaccinated.
Yeah, that's true.
That happens.
So these are the new hate speech laws. And we're going to talk to Dan Seitz. So Dan is here. Dan is from Health Rights Mass. And he's going to talk about why words matter and how language is being used against us. Dan?
Well, first, I just want to say thank you to Julie and Lisa for inviting me onto the show. And before we talk about language, I just want to let your listeners know about Health Rights MA. We're an organization that was founded in 2021 to protect health freedom in Massachusetts. And we do that by advocating for legislation that protects your bodily autonomy, your right to refuse to get treatments that you do not agree with, and to be free of coercion for making your own medical choices. And also, we're focused on protecting informed consent, which means being given true, correct, honest, complete information about treatments before we make our own decision on whether or not to accept those treatments. And then finally, privacy of medical information is utterly essential. So that's also part of our mission. So we've advocated for legislation that protects these rights. And then if there's legislation that's being proposed that may erode our health freedom rights, we also oppose those bills. And we can be found at healthrightsma.org. And please come on our website and see how you can become involved with the health freedom movement here in Massachusetts, if that's something that interests you.
I hope that there is a Health Rights Mass or equivalent in France, because those poor people.
I'm sure there are certainly many people who share our values, and hopefully through their actions, even if it threatens their freedom and well-being that they have the courage to carry on, because that's what really will turn things around. So, Julie, what you were just telling us about the situation in France really points to the ways in which people in power, whether it's media companies or establishment politicians or high officials in the public health bureaucracy, if they have a certain message they want to push on the public, a certain narrative, a certain way of thinking, they have two ways of doing that. They can either censor information, which is what that law is aimed at, so that people cannot hear other points of view, which is essential to understanding any situation. Or you can engage in what you could call propaganda. And what propaganda is, and I want to make a distinction between that and what you might call just logic and persuasion, is using tricks to get people to think a certain way, appealing to emotion instead of to logic and reason, manipulating facts and so forth. And what we've seen happen over the last few years was a very concerted effort to censor competing voices, different points of view, whether on social media. And we just heard from your sponsor a moment ago about how messages disappear from websites. And the other way, though, is by how you talk about different issues. So, Julie, shall I kind of launch in and talk a little bit about the ways in which people control the message?
You go for it. We probably have a couple minutes before the break, but we'll continue afterwards. So if we get cut off, we'll just keep going.
Great. Well, one of the most obvious ones that everyone knows about is called, in Latin, ad hominem attacks. And that's just a fancy way of saying name calling. So anyone who was advocating a different point of view was hit with very often times vicious labeling and personal attacks. And so I'm sure a number of your listeners have heard things like calling people conspiracy theorists or tinfoil hat wearers. And actually, I heard a funny quip that someone made when they were called a conspiracy theorist. They said, "I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I'm a things aren't adding up and it's pretty obvious theorist."
Exactly.
Exactly.
And, or a quack. They call any doctor is a quack. Mm-hmm. Or
anti-vaxxer.
Yeah, of course.
Anti-vaxxer, it was a big one. And that was interesting because you might question the COVID vaccine, but may, for instance, be open to the other ones, but you were just labeled across the board anti-vaxxer.
Mm-hmm.
Anti-science was another big one.
Mm-hmm.
COVID denier. If people question the message on COVID, didn't mean that you didn't believe that there was an illness out there, COVID. There were some people who it started to be put out there that if you questioned vaccines, it was a sign of mental illness. So imagine that you could be potentially put into a psychiatric facility because you didn't have a mainstream agreement, you know, an agreement with this mainstream idea that these vaccines are safe and effective.
That happened to a scientist in France. They were committed against their will.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I had read about that. And that's really, I mean, such an extreme idea that if you have a different point of view, it's just de facto you're crazy or insane or have mental illness.
All right, we're going to have to take a break. So stay tuned after the break for more Health Freedom Radio with Dan Seitz on WCRN Radio 830 AM on your radio dial, or you can listen at WCRNradio.com. You can also listen on healthfreedomradio.org, where you can find all of the podcasts, all of the show notes.
Show notes are gold.
You're listening to Health Freedom Radio, live and local, on the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN 830 AM. Once again, here are your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central 830 on the AM dial or at WCRNradio.com. Or you can go to healthfreedomradio.org to listen to the podcast. So we are very excited. We have a new sponsor today, Thyme Herbal Apothecary. They are at 277 Shrewsbury Street in Worcester. And we met Heather and Brittany, the owners of Thyme Herbal Apothecary, at, guess what, a Make Americans Free Again meeting. And they share their story of what inspired them to walk away from their careers in healthcare and take another avenue in healthcare. And they started Thyme Herbal Apothecary. And I visited for the first time a few weeks ago, and it is beautiful in there. And they have, and I'm going to actually recommend a product because I think we can do that, called Lights Out. I have had trouble sleeping through the night all the way. I don't even know. 10 years? I don't know. And my sister told me about it. So I went in there. I grabbed one of those. And I don't want to jinx it. I'm like knocking on the wood table. It is. I go to bed at night and then I wake up in the morning. And that hasn't happened to me for so long.
That's amazing.
So you actually can. It's not on their website. You can get it in the store. Or if you can't get to the store, she said, just email them and they will ship it to you. But you just get an email through their website. So their website is thymeherbalapothecary.com. And this stuff, it's like magic.
It's all about natural healing.
Yeah, it's just herbs. It's from Mother, all from Mother.
And it smells so good.
Yeah,
I love it.
Well, it doesn't really taste great, I'll tell you. But it's not terrible. You just drop it under your
tongue. You might start liking it, the taste of it.
Maybe. Okay, so back to the show. We're here with Dan Seitz and Lisa Mayer, and we're talking about the weaponization of language.
And so before the break, we had listed all these different names that people were called because of the pandemic, and it just made me think of that quote, "Label me and you negate me." And just think about how many times that happened to these experts. Like, for example, Dr. Robert Malone, who is an expert in mRNA technology and vaccine technology, and they turned him into an anti-vaxxer. So all of his knowledge, his experience, and his expertise was just nullified.
Right. And Ryan Cole, he's a pathologist. He's looking at the slides. He brings you he shows you, if you just look, if you open your eyes and look, but he's a quack and an anti-vax.
It's amazing how well it works.
Yeah.
Because have mentioned, I'm like, well, did you hear about, Dr. Robert Malone, for instance? People are like, oh, no, he's just an anti-vaxxer. I'm like, wait a second. No, we should be listening to him.
Yeah. And ivermectin, oh, no, that's for animals or that's for parasites.
Right.
No, just label it. It's something else. And then boom. Yep. Dan, you were going to talk about moving the goalposts, I think.
Sure, yeah. So there were really a lot of different ways in which the message was twisted to serve a certain political end. And another way was, you might call, moving the goalpost when things keep changing, so you're not ever dealing with a concrete situation that you can address. One of the most interesting ones was that the definition of the word vaccine changed from something that stops transmission of a disease that protects you from getting a disease. And I think, Julie, you might have the new definition for...
All right. Yep. So the 2018, the definition, so before COVID, a product that stimulates a person's immune system to produce immunity to a specific disease, protecting the person from that disease. But then, miraculously, when they needed to, they changed the definition to a preparation that is used to stimulate the body's immune response against disease. So it's not protecting the person from that disease. It's just stimulating.
Right. So even the definition of pandemic was changed along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And even death certificate protocols were changed. And originally, if you might have been tested for COVID, might be positive, but you died of something like a car accident, what would be listed was the car accident. But the protocol was changed so that if... there was any connection with COVID, that became the primary cause of death. So,
and the reason people went along with it and signed those things is because there was money for every time you did it. So that was how they got them to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, there was a big financial incentive built into doctors, hospitals, and others going in a certain route, so to speak, with the dealing with the COVID situation. So, obviously one of the biggest ways you can manipulate people is just by causing as much fear as possible,
mm-hmm.
creating a crisis mentality. And so, for instance, early on there were mathematical models put out that were predicted that millions would die, hundreds of thousands in even places like Britain, smaller countries, tens of thousands in Sweden. And of course, later on, it came to be seen that these were wildly off base. And yet these extremely negative, terrifying mathematical models were the things that were the ones that were often covered in the media.
Mm-hmm.
People talked about the skyrocketing number of COVID cases. Well, if you're tested positive, but you have no symptoms, go about your life, you're not in any way threatened by the illness, cases do not equal illnesses. But there was a big focus on cases because the numbers could be dramatic at times.
Well, and plus, you know how they misused that PCR test.
Right. And that was actually, that was one of the change the goalpost things, because the way it was used early on tended to produce false positives, healthy people seemingly testing positive for COVID. And later on, the protocol reduced the number of people who tested positive. So you're absolutely right, Lisa, about that.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably everyone remembers, don't kill grandma. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, it's heartbreaking. There are little children who won't hug or and they're afraid to be by their grandmothers because of the message that they're little vectors of disease. It's heartbreaking. Large gatherings are dangerous.
The masks, the masking that we did to our children. Criminal.
And
yeah.
Some kids are still wearing them.
Yeah. So that actually, so creating fear obviously can have tremendous influence, and again, especially if you don't hear other points of view. And then there's what's called the big lie, which is just the repeating of a falsehood. And if you repeat something long enough, frequently enough, as you were saying a moment ago, something like ivermectin, which is used on humans, everyone has it in their mind, oh, that's only used for horses. It's a horse dewormer. Actually, it was a human medication beforehand.
Nobel Prize winning.
Yeah, Nobel Prize winning. So what were the things that we heard over and over? You know, COVID vaccines are safe and effective. Safe and effective. Masks stop transmission of COVID. There were decades of research that showed the contrary. And even Dr. Fauci said early on that masks were not effective for viral illness. Even the idea of COVID-19 being a highly dangerous pandemic. It was very dangerous to very elderly people and people who had serious other ailments that had already weakened their systems, their immune systems. But for the large majority of people, especially children and young people, there was very little danger associated with COVID. And yet, I think in most people's minds, what got lodged was everyone, no matter how healthy, could succumb to COVID. So, you know, the 6 feet apart, even Dr. Fauci admitted later on there was no scientific basis for that. But even to this day, people sometimes jump away from people if they cough or whatever. So you can see the power of, again, a single message if people aren't hearing contrary points of view.
Right. And you know what just blows my mind? How effective it was.
It really was. And you walk into the grocery store and I see this 20-something-year-old, 30-something-year-old young people that wear one or two masks while they're in the grocery store. And I'm just, and because it's, you know, I do whatever you want, but I know that those masks have toxic chemicals in them. And I also know that you're just rebreathing your own waste product all day. And it's probably hurting them.
It is.
More than it's helping them. Even if they do have some underlying autoimmune problem, I think still the fresh air and is better.
Mm-hmm.
So than what you're doing there. So find another solution if you're that worried, I guess. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting about that observation, Julie, is that basically there was even a war on the idea that human beings possess immunity to illness.
Right.
That they have these incredibly God-given, highly intricate, brilliant bodies that we live in.
How long have humans been on this planet?
Yeah.
Really? I think 6 million? Is it something like that? 6 million?
Oh, I mean...
natural immunity was a conspiracy theory.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, yeah. That's yet another conspiracy theory. And the idea that you were vulnerable, physically vulnerable, unless you had some outside agent, a mask or a vaccine that protected you. And the fact is, you know, now and then, your show talks about natural remedies, being outdoors. Certainly, outside things can help improve our immunity and so forth, good food. But this idea that a drug, we need some sort of drug, a vaccine.
Experimental one.
And yeah, it's only either or. Like, that's the dichotomy of everything today. It's black and white, and we use words to describe you're either pro-vax or you're anti-vax. And you think about that dichotomy, like, who created that word? Anti-vax is used as a derogatory term for anybody who questions the safety of any vaccine ever. Mm-hmm. And it's just, as we watch childhood illness skyrocket and autism go from 1 in 10,000 when I was a child to 1 in 32 today, and we see children dying of SIDS, sudden unexplained death syndrome, like all of these things.
It's
heartbreaking.
And what you're talking about there, Julie, is also a side effect of this, and it pits ordinary people against each other.
Right.
We are more polarized probably than any time, perhaps, than, say, the Civil War, more than 100 years ago. You know, pitting people against ordinary people is again, a really sad outcome of this situation.
All right, Dan, we're up against a break, so stay tuned after the break with more with Dan Seitz, WCRN Radio, 8:30 a.m. on your radio dial, or you can listen at WCRNradio.com or healthfreedomradio.org.
We're breaking the matrix.
Now, Health Freedom Radio continues, live and local, from the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information, Radio Central WCRN 830 AM. Once again, here's your hosts, Julie Boris and Lisa Mayer.
Good morning. You're listening to Health Freedom Radio on WCRN Radio Central, 8:30 on the AM dial, or at WCRNradio.com or at healthfreedomradio.org. And we're back with Dan Seitz of Health Rights MA, and we're talking about the weaponization of language. And I have a clip from Dr. Phil. It's about 3 minutes long, and he talks about how words are being weaponized against us, things you can say and things you cannot say. And so we're going to roll that for you, and then we're going to talk about what we hear.
Gather a list of things that just drive me crazy. Like one up here, you can't say mom and dad anymore because some people might come from a family where there are two dads or two moms. And they said you can't because we don't want a letter coming from school that says, dear mom and dad. Did you ever get a letter that said, dear mom and dad? Of course not. We don't have enough problems. We've got to think about that. You can no longer say America is the land of opportunity because some people don't feel like it's the land of opportunity. Is it just me? In fact, you can't even say America. I'm not kidding. You can't say America because that implies that America is better than the other countries in the Americas. You can't say tone deaf. You can't say blackout or brainstorm. This is considered racist. We're going to have a brainstorming session that would offend people that have brain injuries. You can't say peanut gallery. Are we offending peanuts? When you're talking about a car, you can't say, well, it's got a blind spot, because that offends people that are unsighted. I thought they were blind. I'm pretty sure they know they're blind because they can't see. I'm not judging them. They just are. People have too much time on their hands. And so we now have to look at people that have said, well, since we can't say that, we'll tell you what you can say. And so they've come up with inclusive alternatives to this, like unschooled. These are stupid people. You can't say minorities anymore, so these are historically excluded. You can't say, let's brown bag it today. Like, bring your lunch in a brown bag. You can't say that anymore. That's from the University of Washington. I kid you not, they have a list of things that you can't say. So what they say is lunch and learn. Unintentionally at leisure. You ain't got a job. So you're unintentionally at leisure. Does anybody want to guess people who menstruate are? The National Institute of Health, instead of calling someone a woman, they're birthing people. Now, I can just imagine calling Robin a birthing person. The Lancet says bodies with vaginas instead of women.
Oh.
Now, doesn't that seem dehumanizing?
Yes.
Calling somebody a body with a vagina?
As a woman, we're amazing. I'm sorry. We can have babies, and we're magical creatures. And mm-hmm. to just
label us and you negate us.
Yeah,
and that's what's happening.
There you go. And this is coming from the University of Washington and NIH
and the Lancet.
And then we wonder why we have no trust in public health or higher education right now. It's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. So Dan, would you like to weigh in on that?
Sure. Well, I mean, the COVID measures that were imposed on us really were contrary to the deepest inclinations of human nature. We need to see people's expressions. We need to be able to hug them. We need to gather in groups and hang out at restaurants and enjoy our fellowship. And all of a sudden, we were isolated. We were made anonymous and so forth. And you can't coerce human nature into something totally contrary to what it is meant to be unless you change people's thinking. So that that clip you just played was just another example of how language can be twisted as a way of trying to change human nature in ways that I feel are really contrary to our deepest nature, the nature that reflects literally millennia of social development, our communities and so forth. And also an element of that is you might call gaslighting, because you're thinking, what do you mean this thing that I'm so familiar with, mother, father, is really not that thing that I think of, or a woman or so forth. And it can make you crazy, because you're going contrary to the most basic human understandings of language. It was interesting. We saw a lot of playing with language also during the COVID times, as we've been talking about, and a big one was focused on science. And we kept, right at the beginning, when there was a certain message that was directed at us, they said, the science is settled. Trust the science. Follow the science.
And the dancing nurses. Do you guys remember the dancing nurses? Like, how absurd.
Oh, my God.
How absurd.
And it's like a mantra. The short sentence, science is settled. Trust the science. Follow the science. Mm-hmm. Of course, anyone who says that is the most unscientific. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the most unscientific thing you could say, because
exactly
the nature of science is questioning, changing.
It's never
taking
settled.
In new information. It's never settled. Mm-hmm. But then when things started to fall apart with the narrative, we were told, oh, the science is evolving. And then
couldn't shut us up enough.
And they couldn't shut us up enough.
Yeah, and the gaslighting, I just want to point out, like, to the people that I think were gaslit the most, and it's so criminal, is the people who took the vaccine, and whether they wanted to or not, they ended up with a vaccine injury.
Oh, yeah.
And they are being told it's long COVID, it's anything but what it really is, and it is so frustrating for them. Or to have your daughter die from the vaccine, and then they tell you it was something else, and of course it wasn't that. I mean, those people are being gaslit to a level that is, I don't know how they, it's unbearable.
Oh, yeah. And one aspect of that is just simply not even acknowledging. So you're talking about being offered an obviously false explanation. There was a young girl who was paralyzed from the waist down shortly after the shot. She was told it was a psychological condition.
Is that Maddie DeGarry who you're mentioning?
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that is. I'm sure she's not the only one, though.
They said it was stomach issues.
She has
a feeding tube.
When there was an increase in car accidents once the shots were introduced, and that became unvaccinated people are causing an increase in car accidents. So everything can get flipped around. You know, later on, we were told we had to move when mistakes were starting to come out, the harms and so forth. And people would say, well, we had to move at the speed of science. So we went from the science that settled to moving at the speed of science. And I just wanted to actually share a funny quote from Mark Twain. He said, "There is something fascinating about science. One gets such wholesale returns of conjecture out of such a trifling investment of fact." But you know, apart from that, I mean, there's no question that science, when done with integrity, objectivity, that's not compromised by conflicts of interest, is a very powerful way of understanding the world. But what we saw was really a corruption of science, a misuse of science, again, to push a certain narrative.
Yeah, there's billions of dollars involved here. I mean, at the end of the day, it's just, it's money, it's marketing, it's messaging. One of the things I learned when I was researching a little bit about propaganda is that Edward Bernays, who's the father of, you know, propaganda, he used it also to sell products after World War I and World War II. But the word propaganda itself became so derogatory because it was associated with, you know, Nazi Germany and, you know, all these dictators and whatever. So they had to change it. And so they changed it from propaganda to public relations. Yeah. So I didn't know that.
And that became public health.
Right. Well, so Edward Bernays, it's interesting you mention him. He's actually known as the father of public relations in America. And I want to read a quote from his book from 1929 called Propaganda.
Dan, I think we're up against a hard break in about 30 seconds, so I don't know how long your quote
is. It's a short quote.
Okay.
"Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which by the true ruling power of our country, we are dominated by the relatively small number of persons who understand the mental processes and social patterns of the masses. It is they who pull the wires which control the public mind." And that was said 100 years ago. So this.
Okay, that's it for our show today. Thanks to Dan and Lisa and Ted. Be sure to tune in next week and every week for Health Freedom Radio, Health Freedom Talk Uncensored, Tuesdays at 9 a.m. Stay tuned for more local radio on WCRN 830 a.m. Radio Central.
You've been listening to Health Freedom Radio on the center of New England, the center of the dial, and the center of information. Radio Central WCRN, 830 AM. Stay with us for more live and local radio right here on Radio Central WCRN AM 830.